What I want to talk to you about today is Christian warfare. And I trust that this is a timely message. And it's concerning the difficulties precipitated by the immoral and the amoral of our communities. And it's my firm belief that these conditions are from more than just the simple sin nature of mankind, but they are brought about also by the acceleration of satanic and demonic activity. The scriptures warn us of these conditions that shall come, especially in the last days. And I'm firm in my conviction that the Bible not only tells us of these conditions, but also with them furnishes us as Christians with the necessary equipment to combat the forces of evil. I would invite your attention to Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What I want to do today is to talk to you about the reality of the spirit world. Then I want to describe for you the battleground of the Christian warfare. And finally, the divine provision of the Christian armor that we have. The reality of the spiritual realm. In our day, as in the day of Jesus and the apostles, there are those who scoff at the idea of their being spiritual beings. The Sadducees of then and the Sadducees of today deny the resurrection and the fact of angels in the spiritual realm. But man is a spiritual being, as well as a physical being. And he's susceptible to the influences in the spirit world. This is really a cardinal doctrine among us, because the Holy Spirit convicts the lost. We believe that with all of our hearts. And he leads the willing child of God to the waters of baptism, and even to service in his vineyard. And we are taught to pray for spiritual comfort, blessing. So being sensitive to the spirit world is a need of the Christian. But while it is a blessing to be aware of the Lord's dealings, it is also a danger, for there are other spirits in the world. So believers of this day are told, try the spirits to see if they be of God. If these things be true, then there is no doubt left that there are spirits, both good and bad. Suppose we look further. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Paul instructed the church at Ephesus that they needed to put on the whole armor of God, that they might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. This is the passage that I read in your hearing. Now, in the same book, in the same general context of Scripture, we are told how to be saved, we are told how to live, but it tells us also of the spiritual wickedness in high places. It is therefore foolishness to deny the existence of demons and demonic influences in our present world. Might be shocking to you for me to say that the spirit world is more real than the physical. The angels were here first. They sang at the creation of the first world. Then hear what Paul says. For things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, really, I should have said that things are that are in the spirit world are more lasting or more permanent. But I want you to think on the idea of the reality of the spirit world. This world, as we know it, will melt with vanish with fervent heat. Spirit world will continue, and a new heaven and earth will come into being, according to 2 Peter 3:10 and 13, Revelation 21:1. One of the best illustrations for the existence of the spirit world and power in that world is the account in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. King of Syria was at war with Israel, and he would set up an ambush for Israel. The Lord would reveal it to Elisha, who in turn would pass the information on to Israel's armies, who would, of course, move in another direction, leaving the Syrians embarrassed. This happened several times to the chagrin of the king of Syria, who became wroth, demanding that his spies do a better job. One of the servants had observed that it was that prophet, Elisha, that preacher, who was discovering all of their secrets. So the king immediately dispatched his army to surround the prophet at Dothan. The servant who was with Elisha rose early then the next morning to see the Syrian army surrounding the town. Filled with fear, he cried, "What shall we do?" But the old prophet calmly said, "They that be for us are more than they that are against us." Then he prayed simply, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." God gave that young man the ability to see into the spirit world. And he saw the mountains around the city filled with horses and chariots of fire, an angelic battalion, if you please, ready for the protection of these two men of God. I want you to think this morning, if you could see the protection that God has provided even in the spirit world for us here this moment, it would be surprising. I believe that there are angelic beings that are protecting us day by day. And I believe that if we could see them, my, what a thrill it would be. But we cannot see into that spirit world unless God gives us that privilege, which he is not likely to do. But we do have the Word of God, and we can turn in its pages to the accounts of God's use of angels. And let me hurriedly call your attention just to a few, and I'll not elaborate on them, but simply call your attention to a few incidents. Angels went into Sodom to warn Lot, Genesis 19. An angel went with a servant of Abraham in search of a wife for Isaac in Genesis the 24th chapter. An angel was sent ahead to drive the inhabitants out of the land Joshua and others in Ezekiel 33:2, excuse me. An angel stood in the path of Balaam's donkey in Numbers 22. 70,000 Israelites were destroyed by an angel of the Lord, according to 2 Samuel 24 and 17. Angels are encamped about every believer to protect them against the demonic and satanic attack, according to Psalms 37 and 7. An angel warned Cornelius to send for Peter, Acts 10 and 20. Peter was released from prison, according to Acts 12, 5 through 11. This was by an angel. Lazarus was carried by angels into the presence of God. Yet in the face of all of these facts that are presented us in the Word of God, we have the modern Sadducees today who deny that there is such a thing as the spirit world. Let's turn our attention now for a moment to the evil spirits. To begin with, I believe that the chaos of Genesis 1-2 was the result of angelic, that is, satanic power. It was Satan who brought sin to the human race, seducing the woman to take of the forbidden fruit, and in turn gave to Adam, and he did eat. And Paul comments on that by saying, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." Romans 5 and 12. A moment ago, I mentioned that Peter was released from jail. Wonder what could have caused that praying church, that church that was praying for Peter's release, to be surprised and not believe their own eyes when their prayer was answered, because they thought they had seen a ghost when Peter appeared. They had evidently a lack of faith. And you see what happens when faith is let down, the guard of faith. And remember that when we start talking about faith in a little while. Paul warned lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are ignorant of his devices, according to 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. While he is not omnipresent, he has an almost unlimited force of demons at his command. Revelation 12 tells us that with his fall, a third part of the angels fell with him. Having noticed and established from the Word of God the reality of the spiritual world, we must now turn our attention to the battleground. Satan's first strategy is to hinder as many as possible from being saved. He hopes to drag them down into hell with him. Paul told Timothy in his second letter, in the third chapter, verse 13, that evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Many are deceived by the teaching that men are saved by their own works. Hence, they do not trust Christ. In Christendom, how many plans of salvation are there fostered by religious bodies claiming to be Christian? Some preach that church membership will save them. Some preach that baptism will save. Some preach, well, just be as good as you can, and God will understand. And others preach, take the Lord's Supper, and make your confessions to the priest, and other kinds of work, such as morality and honesty and philanthropic deeds, giving of money, and so on, the list goes. These are the works of Satan within the Christian circle. And when we view the religious world this morning and see the vast numbers of people who are taken in by the false methods of salvation and the false doctrines, we must admit that his sabotage has been effective. There are tactics to keep people from hearing the gospel. Their time is occupied by business, pleasure, family. Shall I mention television? And on an unlimited list of things that keep us from simple meditation upon the Word of God. I said in the service last night, and I think it's a pity that we do not take the time to just simply meditate on how good God has been to us. That's real worship, brethren. That's real worship. But we fail to do it. And this is one of the things that keeps us from being the kind of people that we ought to be. Then one is likely to get involved in other things that are perhaps more serious. The matter of evil spirits in the world is not a fantasy, as some would like to believe. One's likely to get drawn into involvement with evil spirits without realizing what's happening to him by seemingly innocent items such as the tarot card or playing cards, magic, mocking seances, Ouija boards, checking your fortune, or looking to the horoscope and see what your fortune is for today, or pretending fortune telling and the like. These, as innocent as they may seem, will open the door for demons and demonic influences to come into play, to the surprise of the individual who may really become so infatuated with the surprising results that he goes away from there into more serious occultism. A demon may actually make a Ouija board talk to you, tell you something. He may make some prediction in a jest, and it come true just to get the practitioner to become more involved. James 3:14 tells us that there is a wisdom which is devilish. Let me emphasize, there is a wisdom which is devilish. This we are to avoid. These are only a few samples of how Satan can occupy the mind of the unsaved to keep him out of the influence of the true gospel. Brethren, we should make every effort to get our children and our friends, our loved ones, under the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ and away from the influence of these things. Amen. Our children in school are thrown with this evil influence. According to the book, Satan is Alive and Well on the Planet Earth, there are in some of our high schools students who are avowed witches, manifesting unusual powers of mind reading, fortune telling, finding long lost objects, and the like. Children are fascinated by these things, and the witch becomes their hero. Sales of occult books, magazines, and the like are at a phenomenal height. The Satanic Bible now outsells the Holy Bible 2-to-1 in California universities such as Brinkley, Riverside, Los Angeles, San Francisco. A multi-million dollar trade in witchcraft paraphernalia has emerged in California, ranging from human skulls to preserved bats for love potions. Popular books and movies are designed to capture young minds, for that matter, older minds, for the occult. An example is The Exorcist. A few years past, reruns are popular. A suburban psychiatrist of the Chicago area reported that two patients were under restraint and four others were complaining of mental anguish after viewing the movie. Doctors have warned that there is no way that one can sit through this movie without receiving negative effects. Not only is this sort of activity hindering the unsaved from hearing the gospel, it is possessing the lives of saved people also. When Satan fails to keep one from being saved, his next move is to destroy the usefulness and even the life of the child of God. Saved people who are out of service are vulnerable to Satan's attack. Peter said of the Christian acts, such as love and patience and all of those things that he names in first chapter of 2 Peter, says, "He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off." Paul also warned that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 4:14. Then there are actually satanic churches which are out to deceive. LaVey, the founder and pastor of the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, said, yes, I said it right, LaVey, the founder and pastor of the First Church of Satan in San Francisco, said, "There is a demon inside man. It must be exorcised, not exorcised." That is, it ought to be put into activity rather than be cast out. LaVey is a witch by his own testimony. According to Look magazine, August 1971, there were 10,000 dues-paying members of this church. The Satanic Church has spread eastward to organize Satanic churches in many, probably most, of the large cities in America. One authority has said one out of 20 Americans practice witchcraft, but only relatively few are willing to admit it. Let me again emphasize, one out of every 20 Americans practice witchcraft. These are becoming bolder every day. Now, we haven't time to explore all of the areas of Satan's battleground, his wiles, his ruses, his bold deceptions, but let me hurriedly say that the charismatic movement among the liberals now infiltrating to the fundamental churches is nothing less than of satanic origin. No, it's not in some far-off undesignated place that I have reference to, but in Fort Smith, Arkansas, one of our promising students of a few years ago walked these very walls, sat in the very seats that you're sitting in, under the same instructors that we have here. He has succumbed to the speaking in tongues doctrine. It grieves me to say it, but beware of Ben Stevens. Beware of Bill Matthews in Shawnee, Oklahoma. Beware of Harvey Spears in Moore, Oklahoma. A few days ago, I received this in the mail. On the back of it, it says, if this is what the ABA teaches, I'm moving my membership. Well, there's two things wrong with that. First, they didn't sign their name, tell me who they were. Next thing, ABA doesn't teach anything.